order of the Department of Public Works reimbursement committee at 6:30 December 4th. Everybody got a chance to take a look at the minutes. If not, I'll circulate them if you want to skim through them for a few seconds, a few minutes. I looked through them thoroughly. I think they're right on the money, as usual. Anybody have any questions or concern on the minutes? If not, I'll entertain a motion to accept them as written. So I can move by Legislator Green, seconded by Legislator Moore. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. We're probably going to have a pretty quick night tonight. We only have one resolution, and we'll go right to that. Resolution number 473, approve the execution of the contract amended in excess of $50,000 entered into by County Suburban Restoration Company Incorporated, Department of Public Works. This is to do a cleanup at the Veterans House.
Right.
All right. For a cost of $85,787.53, which has been budgeted for. Cost the county 100% of the paying, and this is to remove asbestos and demolition, disposal, and cleanup. It's within the budget. The contract is attached to the resolution. All right. Any discussion?
Any questions? Reasons for the
yeah,
the Patriot.
Right. Exactly. Motion made by Legislator Lauren. Seconded by Legislator Green. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
Are you done?
Last night around 10:30.
Straight through?
Yeah, I tell you one thing. I just can't drive around it. I just can't drive at night anymore. My eyes aren't the same. It's just...
I can't stand coming with a piece in it.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
David, you're up.
All right. So, we have a little snowstorm. It was $149,000 in material, which is not bad. I don't know if that means anything to anybody.
No.
Perspective, what does that mean?
Yeah, which was it?
$149,000.
Yeah. That's for everything included?
Big storm is, you got a bigger...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were lucky. We didn't get as much as we thought.
Yeah, right, it did.
And it was warm.
And it was warm. The ground was warm. It was hard to check and trim.
How much did I get up there?
I don't know, anywhere from very quick.
Yeah,
depending on where you live. Four to 12.
Yeah.
Within a few months.
Yeah.
Sure. Organies, we got five.
So we got
that was it. Here.
Yeah, but it didn't last.
Right. Well over a foot in the Platic area.
And I was kind of worried that it would be a wet snow, which would mean it would be a lot of wires being coming
in.
Yeah.
A lot of our time lately has been planning to devote as much time as possible on manpower to plant trees as they had for people on my trade, I guess you call it. There are hundreds of trees out there and down.
Yeah, we had the wind problem too. Yeah. We did a lot of removal of trees and limbs that night during the
right.
storm.
A lot of ash trees.
Yeah.
Coming down.
Pines snapping up in the dark.
Yeah, pines.
You know.
Yeah. So it's a rather uninteresting month as far as activity, as you know.
The time of the year. Right.
Brush work. Tree limb work. We're planning on doing a replacement of Core 10, which is Core 10 steel bridges next spring. Ed Pines, senior engineer, he's already done a design for all the Core 10 bridges that we look forward to getting rid of and replacing next year.
Right.
So all of the bones are done. He's also ordered the steel so they can start the customization of the steel beams.
Still for a couple of
two. Yeah.
What would two would they be?
I don't know which ones.
Oh, you know, one.
But there are quite a few of them in the northeast section of the canyon.
Right.
It's over easy, right?
Yeah.
The bad news on those is that when those bridges come out, they're going to be closed.
That's what it is. So,
the set projects that are on the schedule, the one that's moving the furthest, the fastest, is the Mud Tavern Road Bridge. And Schwangham Crowley, called it Crowell Bridge, technically, but it's on Mud Tavern Road.
Also known as Only Cut Road, for those of you
who... Yeah, right.
Right. And that is, we got DOT approval to award the contract to the bidder, you know, the bidder that's for the construction of the Crowell itself. And that should be starting in the spring. And that road will be closed, too. We're next thing on our list for our, we're working through is a new ADL system for our trucks, a new automatic vehicle locator system. That is one third of the present cost. One of the comp code.
Okay.
So, it's like GPS?
It is GPS. Yeah. Locate all the trucks.
Right. Push it.
Right. 5 minutes, 3500, so that your information is never more than 5 minutes old. It serves two purposes. One, well, it serves many purposes, but two big ones. One is it's a safety issue for
people that are
stuck. We can find them easily. Dispatch can see all the trucks, knows where everybody is, knows who to send where.
So much of the ones that the trucks have?
Yes. Yes. And it also allows us to see if anybody's speeding, it sets alerts if you're going too fast. If you leave the county, if somebody calls and complains about a truck, you can check and see if it was our truck or if it matches the activity, the truck matches the activity of the complaint. So it's kind of handy to have. I mean, we like having it. And, you know, those mountain roads, it's really a nice thing to have. If somebody goes up the side of the mountain in the middle of the night, it's good to have a tracker on them.
A few years back, when we were just getting in with the shared services, they had a discussion with Frank Lombardi, who was the highway superintendent for the town of Lloyd.
Right.
He said in all the years he was the highway superintendent there, he would have to say that that was the best investment that was ever made since he was the highway superintendent.
That's where they get track of where everybody is, you know?
He never seen it at all times, right. What was going on. He said it was a very, very good investment. It paid off for them at big time. And he was old school.
You know the Lime Energy grant that I think you voted on last month, or it was the month before, about the change that light bulb, more poles.
Right. Several Hudson energy credits of LED lighting in.
Right.
That's going to start next week.
Okay. Yeah, I think we talked about this before.
Security cameras.
Right.
I know what you're going to say. Has that ever been looked into, from security cameras for the parking lots here? For the simple reason, sometimes they have some fender benders. When the employees are working here, they go out here, they got a nick or dent in their car, and Pearson takes off, and there's no... I mean, that's only the one of the reasons.
That's
one,
obviously. It's also safety issue.
Yeah.
You know, with the sort of women leave here at night,
that's a security issue.
They have to walk out because, you know, them going to their cars way over on the other side, they're for a short period of time before they get to their car, they're alone. And when it gets dark out at night, I mean, I've seen some savory people coming through the parking lots that, you know, I just want to make sure that anybody that's using the parking lots don't have to worry. I mean, it could be just anybody cutting through.
I tell you, we have them at Cantine Field and Sorby's in a lot of spots, and I'll tell you what, especially like when there's damage done, vandalism done, you go to court, it's great for prosecution, they've got these people right on tape, and, you know, I got my only thing, I know I've gotten a few complaints since I've been a legislator, people leaving work going out to their car, and there's a fender bender dent, or there's a scratch, and they get stuck footing the bill, there's no way to prove it. At least maybe with a few cameras out there, you can catch somebody on tape.
Man, even if you
grab a license plate or something like that, it could help us.
Part of our plan be incorporated into the security post on the first floor.
Okay.
The provisions are there for, you know, conduit and cabling to run the wire to it, so a monitor would sit right there.
Okay.
And can you attach it to the sheriff's department so that they have the ability to monitor?
Well, they could be through the internet.
I mean, so that they themselves are real time, you know, viewing.
As for this building, we had purchased, I think it was an 8-camera system.
Mm-hmm.
This building's not an easy one to wire because the home base has got to be on the first floor, and we want cameras on the...
Oh, I see.
You want to, that's inside. That's the only inside. I'm talking about the outside.
I'm talking about that also, inside and out. The monitor would be at the officer's post on the first floor. But the wiring would go through the building, up the pipe chases to the roof. To the roof and the other areas, so... We'll get a view of the parking lot.
Yeah, something else.
The waiver for the wiring is
something else that Ann and I had talked about in our committee was solar energy. Have you looked at the possibilities of using solar energy on this building?
I don't know if Amanda has. I'm not sure what consultants have been brought in, but
that's something I want to consider.
Buildings with a bigger, you know, roof.
Right. And then you've got a flat roof. It's one of the highest buildings in the city. It has access to sunlight. And
it's not a real big terrace-sized building. So.
And you have this building. You also have the BRC.
Yes.
Which is another building.
BRC. Yeah, good candidate.
You've got...
The mail room.
Right.
Good candidate.
Because, you know, I think those are things we need to be looking at. So
maybe we can invite Amanda in the near future and have that discussion over here of solar energy with her department.
Well, we've been talking about it in our committee. I mean, we're going to have people coming to the committee.
Oh, okay.
Because it makes sense.
Yes.
I mean, if other people are doing it because they're saving money, why aren't we? If a resident,
I think a lot of the savings with solar energy systems initially comes with tax credits that we would not be eligible for.
Yeah, but in the long run, we'd still be with only the electricity that we use and the heat. We could still.
How many panels you're going to be able to put up and how much?
Right.
You know,
so over time, it would be.
I'm not sure where they're all located, but I know that in the budget there was funding for Solar City, so the county, because it's a leasing system, the county benefits from the lower cost and the fact that the county can't get the investment tax credits.
But it doesn't affect the amount of savings, though. One of the reasons that I don't think that you'd see a lot of homeowners switching over to solar if there weren't the federal and state.
But I still think it's something we should be looking at.
I agree. Yeah. I felt like that needs to be
said. Something like Solar City, I believe, is probably an 18 to 20 year, you know, lease cycle program where you're locked in at a rate. And met with a guy one time.
The Solar City, if I understand it correctly, whatever the savings are from the electricity you're generating, they get some of the benefit and you get some of the benefit. I prefer to own, but you're going to as well take it. You know, I'm thinking that probably we ought to go back and look at that because one of the things Amanda gave us was a chart that showed highest energy usage, and, you know, Golden Hill is no longer a county, but, you know, by facility. And that Siemens report, you know, if you can just add that kind of, when you come talk to us, just let us know for the buildings you're overseeing.
The jail is a perfect example.
Number one energy consumer.
Right, that's the number one energy consumer. So why not look at doing that first?
And that was Amanda, and I'm not sure what company, but that was looked into probably 3 years ago.
And I'm not sure. Technology changes. Course change.
They looked at it longer than 3 years ago.
It's 2007.
Yeah.
I think the thing that we want to try to do is start making this concrete, understanding what's already been done, which is a lot, but also what's left to do, and start, scheduling to the extent it can be, given the fact that we already passed next year's budget. But if it can't be in next year, then let's be sure it's in the
But it's something that you guys might want to look into again. The costs have come down. See if there's grant money available to offset the cost of the if there's any governmental money that's out there that we can utilize.
And then it's the support, repairing of the wall.
And also, as walls were opened up, there are 100 to 120 additional pipe fittings with asbestos insulation on them that will abate via change order. So it will be, it may not be 100%, but it's going to be a pretty clean building by the time the contractor walks out of there in 3 weeks or so.
About 3 weeks, you should be all done, cleaned up?
The abatement contractor.
Yeah.
The general contractor is on site and started some selective demolition. Legwork contractors on site. And the mechanical, electrical, they're mobilizing. So right now, all things are going pretty well.
Legislator Monk?
Thanks. I'm a guest here, so thanks for allowing me to participate. The change orders are within the 5% contingency?
The change orders on the abatement?
Yeah.
I think we had I think it was a $20,000 contingency built into that contract. We're exceeding that, but it's within the project contingency.
Right.
But I think the total for that is 34 and change.
David, did you have anything else?
Nope.
Brian, anything else? Any legislators here have anything else they want to talk about tonight? Okay. If not, I'll just entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Moved by Legislator Roberts, second by Legislator Warren. All in favor?
All right.
Will opposed? This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.